Hey, it's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. And coming up on the show, we have got more details and more speculation emerging from the John Gruden Washington football Adam Schefter fiasco. We are going to get into all of that stuff here. We're also going to talk about one NFL owner. Listen, I'm not trying to make claims that this guy is outlandish or a little bit nuts, but this guy is making claims that his team is going to be a lot more successful than we believe they are. A vested interest, the first of the season, and it involves a family member of one of the members of this show we're going to discuss. There's also a media ban in the world of college football, and the great Albert Breer stops by. And also, you want to talk about awful advice on how to be a great parent? We handed out some to Roberto Flores, our technical producer. Wait till you hear this absolute mess that we try to create for him and his family. It's coming up next here. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you on a Thursday edition here on Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There are layers upon layers upon layers, and now somebody else is claiming that they are being attacked or under fire. We will get into all of that here. Coming up just a couple of moments from now, it is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We are going to have some fun here, and we are going to play a little bit of grab ass, get into the usual shenanigans and all sorts of goofy stuff here over the next 3 hours till 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific. How are we feeling on a Thursday? LeVar's grinding, by the way.
I'm grinding.
He's twerking.
Well, I'm always grinding.
Oh, okay.
It certainly was not twerking. No.
Like
twerking.
I was going to say.
Hey, bro. Don't get kicked off the air, man. you know, twerking is not, it's a no-fly zone. Bro.
Sorry about that.
Be careful.
People even do that anymore?
Got away from me.
I became a little bit desensitized to paying attention to the twerk when I started seeing dudes do it in the locker rooms, man.
Wait, what?
I lost connection with. Like, at one point, twerking was kind of ill. At one point, it was okay. And then I saw a dude twerk into a split.
Oh, no.
Into a full split.
In fact, you know what?
Didn't we see that happen in the national championship?
Well,
didn't one of the dudes do the twerk?
I don't know that he was twerking.
Antonio Brown did it. Antonio Brown did it after a touchdown celebration. He did it.
I'm just saying, I never felt comfortable with dudes twerking. I know it became like a thing. And I don't know how that makes me look as a person. Because everything is, I just don't know what's right from wrong anymore.
Right.
So am I judgy?
I'll put it this way.
Am I judgy for not being comfortable with a dude twerking?
No, I'm against twerking in all forms. I don't care male, female, yeah. Everyone identify. I'm just against twerking. Yeah. I'm not a fan of twerking.
Yeah. You know.
I will say.
Depends on the artist. We'll put it that way.
I will say, if I'm being totally honest, some people can get away with the twerk with me.
That's honest.
That's
a good point,
you know?
Yeah.
But I just can't do the dude thing. I don't know, man. I just don't. A dude twerking and leading into a full split, like throw the leg, split, hit the ground. I just don't know about that.
Throw the leg.
Yeah. I ain't with it, Brady.
Yeah, I'm not,
I don't even
I'm
know what any of that means.
Yeah. And you know what? You don't need to.
Yeah.
I don't even want you to get the mental visual of this.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's a different thing altogether. Can we now, speaking of, there's no easy way to transition.
No, speaking of the
there
splits.
Is no easy way out.
Yeah, speaking of.
There's no shortcut home.
Uncomfortable situations in the NFL. The layers upon layers that we were talking about yesterday to this John Gruden email fiasco and all that's added to it and stuff that's been mixed in, it continues to just pile on one right after the other. And the more you pull back, the more you realize, oh, there's more there. It's like a box of Kleenex. It just seems like it's never ending. You pull one out, there's another one right behind it. The other latest on that is that Mark Davis is all of a sudden under attack. Brady Quinn, Mark Davis, LeVar. Mark Davis, the guy who you call Bucky Larson, is under attack.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm just saying, like, that is...
It's coming at them from all angles, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, here's the... There's a money quote.
You're funny as hell.
They ask...
Brady Quinn is... Wait, hold on. Okay, keep going. All right. I had to have one moment to laugh, because Brady be sneaking in some quick zingers. They'd be real quick.
They ask Mark Davis yesterday about the situation, and his quote was, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." That seems like somebody who's got a little bit of a red ass about the situation and the handling of the situation. There was also something out there that he feels like they're trying to take the team from him. Is that just a rumor? Is that somebody trying to spark a rumor or a report? But there was that was floated out there. So how the hell does that all of a sudden change things? Because my initial reaction was the fact that you're firing your head coach, maybe Mark Davis is looking for a reason to get rid of John Gruden. And unless he's a really good actor, he's not happy about any of this stuff.
He resigned.
Yeah.
He didn't fire him.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like John Gruden was collateral damage in this whole thing.
Oh, for certain.
If the source of some of the emails or what led to them digging into more of the emails with the investigation with the Washington football team, if the source was a lawsuit between Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and this company that apparently made all these claims against Bruce Allen, I mean, there's with Bruce Allen, I guess, there's all sorts of different things going on. And everything was pointed directly at Dan Snyder until he pulled out some sort of shield and just redirected everything to hit John Gruden. I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the more details that come about, if I was Mark Davis, I mean, in one way you should be frustrated. However, again, it doesn't make anything that John Gruden has said or done right, but that was before you hired him. I mean, these emails were coming when he was an employee of ESPN. Now, to think that he changed his ways and wasn't communicating like that since he's been the head coach of the Raiders, it's kind of hard to believe. But, you know, maybe he feels like, look, if you're going to fire my coach, do an investigation in our organization instead of painting this bad picture of light over our head coach when he wasn't even our head coach. He wasn't even a part of our organization then. So, you know, I could see where he might be a little bit frustrated with how this all went down. The reality is, you know, I'm not sure how they would possibly take his team from him, considering everything seems to be about what's happened with the Washington football team and Dan Snyder, and they didn't take the football team from him. They just made him step down or step away from it.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it was Jason Cole who reported that, longtime NFL reporter, who said that people around Raiders owner Mark Davis believe that the NFL is trying to find a way to get rid of him, and they have told Davis that. So I don't know. It could just be paranoia. It could be.
I mean, again, I'm not sure how you force that. I'll put it this way. If it forced him to get rid of it, okay, good time to sell. I mean, he just moved to Las Vegas. He's going to make, I don't know, a billion or so from all of that. It's like, I guess that's a terrible problem to have, but I understand it's his legacy. The team was passed down to him from his father. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's like, boy, I wish I found myself into a tough fire sale for a $1 billion franchise.
Imagine the rager we throw after that. We own the Raiders and sold them right now.
Can I make it through that?
Please do.
But don't we want to ask the question, why paranoia? You know? Like, if you really think about it, there has to be something there for there to be paranoia. There can't be anything it can't be a clear, clean conscience. And everything is on the up and up, and you be paranoid about what they're trying to do to you. If you're good, you're good. If everything cashes out, it cashes out. Like, if it adds up, it adds up. What are you paranoid about? That would be my first thought on this.
The easy answer would be, and this is the least entertaining one, is that the NFL's always had it out against Al Davis, his father, because they were butting heads for years and years.
Who would have done more unscrupulous things to get things done than the type of guys back in the days?
I agree.
All right, so Bucky Larson is probably nowhere near the type of dude that his dad is in terms of doing what it is that he's doing. So what is Mark Davis paranoid about. You got to believe you know. Go ahead, Brady. Go ahead.
No, I don't really know what he's paranoid about. I think the unfortunate thing would be if this was the case. I mean, the NFL essentially used Mark Davis and John Gruden to move that team to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So they could open up a new revenue stream and begin that discussion of gambling and sports being okay. Like, that was really one of the first steps. So, I mean, obviously when the NHL had a hockey team there, you kind of knew that would help pave the way for other sports leagues and to open up this new revenue stream. But if that was how the NFL was going to do Mark Davis, it's kind of doing him dirty because he's the one who went through a lot of flack to get out of Oakland to Las Vegas. There was a lot of controversy that was, you know, came along with that. And I don't, you know, whichever side of the fence you're on in that, whether, you know, the city of Oakland made a strong enough claim or the county there, et cetera, like, I'm not here to debate that. I'm just saying at the end of the day, the NFL wanted a team in Vegas. They got it. And now because of this, they're going to move on from the owner. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to that. I do think he would be upset if he had to sell this team, not because of, you know, the fact that it was in his family and everything else. It's the fact that he's building a house that is a direct replica of Allegiant Stadium.
That's a
good
point.
So, I mean, you'd think that you literally every day living in a house that is a replica of Allegiant Stadium would be depressing. Like, it would be a reminder you'd have to sell that house as well.
Yeah, you'd have to sell the house as
well. Not just the team, you'd have to sell the house as well.
All right, now here's the second part of this. If Mark Davis is paranoid that they're trying to take his team away from him, what the hell is Dan Snyder sitting around
exactly.
thinking about right now?
Exactly.
And keep this in mind. There was his partners, his minority partners that he ended up successfully removing. I think one is like the owner of FedEx, and that's why the field is FedEx Field. I'm not sure who the other one was, but I'm pretty certain that there were two main ones in particular, and they were removed. But they were all attempting to remove Dan Snyder as owner of the team. And that had became a very, very intense propaganda deal that was taking place in terms of things that was being put out there about Dan Snyder. So now the question has to be, the real question has to be, like, Mark Davis is a side piece deal to this matinee. The real focus of this story and this movie is what will come of Dan Snyder and the Washington football team, because this is a mess, and it's a mess that continues on. And now it is full throttle mess when you have people losing their jobs, reputations, and careers, and it had nothing to do with the organization that person is working for. Like, this is a mess. So I think the bigger question has to be Dan Snyder.
Do you guys believe that, like there should be open access to the 650,000 emails?
Yeah, and I believe that it's not going to happen.
And then what happens after you get the open access – and all the people that will be incriminated, what has to happen next? Because you know there's a what. In fact, I'm wondering why there isn't criminal situations that, like, we're looking at Deshaun Watson, like, and what he's going through. We'll look at other people and what they get themselves into. And why wouldn't some of these emails, If what we're seeing and hearing about some of these pictures that have been released and different things like that, why does this not turn into criminal legal situations? And that's another thing that you got to take a look at.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a legal activity, whatever that may be. And then, you know, criminal and civil are obviously
two different deals, right?
There's two different burdens of proof and how you go about, you know, doing that. I think that's the tough part. I do wonder, though, with the steps Dan Snyder's already taken, kind of removing himself from it, his wife now taking over, a lot of the things they've done organizationally to try to clean it up. I do think it's interesting, as this is all brought to light, that, I mean, the way Jerry Richardson was brought down in Carolina, I mean, you'd think that this is
along the same lines.
I was going to say equal to, if not worse.
If not worse.
It's way worse.
I totally agree. So how is he Teflon? That's the question you got to ask here.
He's talking about dirt, man.
Exactly.
Hey, bro, we're talking about Mark Davis. Mark Davis isn't even connected to the Washington team, but we're not talking about what should be happening to Dan Snyder. Like, that's fine. You let your wife take – it's the same family.
Dan Snyder
– it's the same situation.
Dan Snyder knows where the bodies are buried, and it's exactly why he's basically gotten off with a slap on the wrist, and you've got another guy who's not even involved in this thinking they're going to take away his team after they just built a new stadium for him in Las Vegas. Dan Snyder knows something, and he's got something on somebody, which is why he's been just cruising this entire time.
But this is still Game of Thrones, man.
Honestly, you know what's next.
What?
You know what's next. They're gonna build a new stadium.
Well, that's what he's been trying to do since forever.
But I'm saying it's going to happen here in the next year. I bet they're going to announce it because it's going to distract from all of this.
Yeah.
I just think Dan Snyder's wife running the team is no different than Dan Snyder running the team.
Yeah.
He's not removed from running the team if his spouse is running the team.
Now, you mentioned Mark Davis earlier. LeVar, if you had to do an impression of Mark Davis's reaction to all this, what would it be? Like, if you had to do it?
They're trying to take my team. They're trying to take my team.
Very good.
Why would they try to take my team from me?
Two pros and a cup of Joe here, brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, there's an NFL owner who may have opened up the bottle recently, and we might have actual proof of it. We will get into all of that next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up later on this hour, I don't know if this apology is suffice, but somebody at least addressed a situation. We will break down just sort of the deeper issues that could create moving forward. So we'll get into that in the NFL coming up later on this hour. But I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts. Speaking of owners, and he is a wild man on social media.
Don't go into his emails.
Is he the one who has the AFC runner-up banner in there?
I think that sounds about right. That sounds like Jim Irsay. He sent out a tweet that said the following, quote, "Colts Nation, don't you worry. We're going to get the horseshoe at least two Lombardis this decade. As sure as the sun rises and the seasons change, it's coming. Don't you ever doubt that, ever. You will see greatness, believe, and you will see." End of tweet.
Add a couple pills.
What time was that at?
Add some cough syrup to that.
What time was that tweet sent out?
Let me get the actual tip, because that would tell you a lot, right? If it's after a certain time, that'll give you an indicator as to what's going on. All right. So I'm seeing October 12th, 3:17 p.m.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That means he had a big lunch and had a few drinks there, and he just kept that thing rolling.
Yeah, that is a good point.
He did what I did in Iowa City.
He was
triple fisting.
Now, most happy hours go from, 3 to 7? All right, so and then there's some that'll go 2 to 7, depending on how much they're trying to roll in.
Yeah. 2 to 7.
I don't know, because of the money that he's got, I don't know if he haggles over happy hour.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not about the haggling over how much you're paying.
Happy hour.
It's more about the interaction.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Very, very good point there.
That's Jonas, the hour that people Jonas, are happy.
Jonas thinks Jim Irsay is looking for happy hours.
Well, because here's why I say that. All right, let me explain a little background on this. All right. I worked at TGI Fridays. And I can tell you this happened.
You saw plenty of celebrities come in during happy hours.
Actually, there were celebrities that used to come in during happy hours.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I used to go into TGI Fridays for happy hours. I used to go to TGI Fridays after games and in the pros.
In fact, here's one. Adam Sandler and all the guys that he does his movies with, all the regular faces you see in all his movies, they used to come to the TGI Fridays in Thousand Oaks, California, because it was in a mall next to a movie theater. So after their movie would premiere, they'd all come over and they would all sit and have drinks and eat at TGI Fridays. So there's your celebrity.
You're
Brady.
So proud, Jonas. Jonas is sitting here proud as hell.
It could be completely made up, but he is.
And, yeah. You know what? It probably is. But here's the best part.
A ton of celebrities show up to Chuck
Tommy
E. Cheese
Lee.
Every day as
hey,
well.
Hey, Tommy That's Lee, right. Heather Locklear was at Chuck E. Cheese when I worked
Let
there.
Let me tell you something about Chuck E. Cheese after this
circles.
Show. They should be paying you a residual.
I agree.
Like, honest to God, I never heard so much about Chuck E. Cheese until I started doing this show.
Hey, man. It's, it's not...
Wiggle your ears!
I
didn't even know all of his shtick.
Here's what I would say.
Did you do any of those voiceovers for the songs
No,
and
you
stuff?
Can't talk.
Did you twerk as Chuck E. Cheese?
That is crazy.
I did. Actually, I was reprimanded by my boss.
Did you ever put a thong on?
No, there's no thong, man. You're dressed up as a giant rodent.
But maybe you put a giant rodent thong on.
Do they make giant rodent thongs?
I mean, I'm sure you could have found one.
I have
you could make one.
Listen,
you could fabricate one.
I'm certain that there's someone the size of that giant rodent.
Okay, I miss getting drunk
take
at Chuck E. Cheese,
though, Jimmy Jonas.
Well, he's going to get LeVar. What did LeVar just, mocking someone the size of
I'm
a rodent?
I'm not mocking anyone.
I'm just
saying.
You've got to be careful.
I'm certain.
Check your emails there.
That there are some panties that would fit a giant rodent outfit.
Back to the most important.
I'm sorry.
Back to the most important.
But I'm not sorry.
Back to the most important part of this whole conversation.
All right.
Happy hour. Here's why I bring this up. Because when I worked at TGI Fridays, there were a lot of people that wanted to make sure they got multiple drinks in before the clock hit 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Because that way the price is automatically changed in the computer. Now I'm saying that because I don't believe Jim Irsay is one of those guys.
Okay.
But I do believe Jim Irsay was doing something here. Because what the hell's he talking about? His team's not winning any Super Bowls this decade. It's not happening, dude. It's not happening.
I don't know if that's a vote of confidence to Carson Wentz. I mean, he has played well the past couple of weeks. He's looked much better, even though it hasn't been as fruitful, I think, as they'd hope. I mean, the truth is, I don't know how you make that statement with your team in its current state. You do have some young pieces. But, I mean, it's hard to keep them all together for the next 10 years. If you're going to win 2 Super Bowls in the next decade, I feel a lot better about that happening in years 9 and 10 of this decade than years 4 and 5, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because they're committed right now to Carson Wentz and whatever this incarnation is. Although, I mean, the division, the division is still suspect. So maybe that's a sort of a cheap way to get into the postseason every year.
Here's a way of looking at it. If you were looking at your significant other or your child, one of your children, and you told them you're going to do something great this decade, right?
Yeah.
It's because you believe that your kid or your spouse, that person you care about, is really going to do something this decade. I see it play out every single day. There are kids and there are parents that are upset every single day because their kid isn't starting for the football team or the basketball team or the volleyball team or whatever team it is, right? I see it every day when a game finishes, you see these kids and these parents just totally perturbed at the fact that their kid didn't get the amount of playing time that they had assumed that their kid was going to get. Point is, reference point, Jim Irsay is looking at his kid and he believes that his kid is better than what he is or what it is.
Yeah.
And you're putting bold proclamations on what you believe your kid will do, and you would not be able to convince him otherwise that what he's saying really is the truth in his mind. So as long as it's the truth in his mind, it's not a big deal. You know, in the end, if they don't get it within the decade, he's still the owner of the team, and he can still make bold proclamations that may not happen or may happen. He looks like a brilliant dude if it happens. He looks like a delusional parent if it doesn't.
He made a comment after Peyton Manning retired or something along these lines after Manning had left the team in which he was not satisfied with the number of Super Bowls or appearances that they had with the Indianapolis Colts with the roster they had. That he was not, and he spoke publicly about it. I don't remember the specific quote, but I remember him making a comment publicly. And it's like, does he realize how difficult it is to win a Super Bowl, to get to a Super Bowl?
Do you realize how difficult it is to have a winning season?
Right.
To make it to the playoffs. Start there.
Yeah.
It is so much more difficult. And that's why, like, it's the highs and the lows of an NFL season are real. Like, it literally solves all your problems if you just win. It really does. Because there's a lot of infighting and people who don't get along and all kinds of contractual stuff, things going on the outside. But if you win, it doesn't really get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep focused on that one. But if you lose, everything, it's like being in that burning room, right? Everything starts burning out around you. It's two different worlds, man, I'm telling you.
I mean, how bad? Like, can you give an example of something that if it would have happened during a winning season, wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but because it happened
just
during
a winning streak.
Season?
It doesn't even have to be a winning season. If you get a winning streak, like the week you win one game, the week that you won, it's different. It's like, all right, let's build on this, right? Let's build on it. I mean, and that can be in terms of player relations, training room relations, weight room relations, food relations, you name it. Coach the player, coach the coach, because everybody's stressed out. Everybody be stressed out. But when you win, it's like you feel good. It's like let's build on this. You get a new game, like, oh, we got a two-game winning streak. It's winning streaks. It's not even seasons. People are looking for wins, especially in the league.
All right, let me ask you guys this. You can bet yes or no.
No.
Somebody gives you $100.
No.
All right. You walk up to a sports book in Las Vegas.
Hell no.
You got a Long Island in one hand.
Okay.
And
that changes things.
And you got a Modelo Especial in the other.
Ooh, okay.
And
all
you
right.
walk up to the sports book. You also got $100.
And I go, hey, yo, sports book, homie.
They say $100 bet, yes or no, the Indianapolis Colts make a Super Bowl. Not win one, but make a Super Bowl this decade. What's your bet?
Oh, I'm betting it.
You're betting yes?
Yes.
On the Colts?
For $100?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, all right, $100,000.
I'm saying no. I'll be on the other side of this one.
Maybe that's a humble flex.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this for a second,
$100.
Though. Think about this for a second. You have Mahomes.
Yes.
Allen.
Yep.
Presumably Lamar Jackson.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
Yes.
And then probably Baker Mayfield. They all five will probably still be under contract for a good portion of that decade, if not the extent of that decade.
Yeah.
So think about that. That's five teams that I would put ahead of them purely because of their quarterback.
And you have Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think,
so
I,
maybe
I think
you don't have a quarterback,
it
but they'll figure it out in Pittsburgh. So you had another team. I
would throw in, you know, if Deshaun Watson happens to go to an AFC team, he's that good. If he's playing, he immediately elevates that team. So I'd throw them into the mix.
It's going to be a gauntlet that they got to run to be able to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Titans flirt with being that next tier, next level team in the playoffs. But I just think that there's something to be said about organizations that have figured out how to win. And that's just one of those organizations. And Irsay was there. They're just one of those organizations where they just have figured out how to win.
Well, let me tell you something. If you want to win, you got to get Dollar Shave Club. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get Dollar Shave Club. Because if you want to look like $1 million, but you only spend a handful of bucks, upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor.
Wow.
Brady, how many blades is that?
That's six.
Damn
six
right.
blades.
Hey, Roberto.
Hey, why do you always ask Brady about how many blades?
I'm going to get to you.
So, because he's got that smooth butt face, that baby butt face?
I'm going to get to you.
Forget that, Jonas.
Thanks for that, LaFleur.
Roberto, in Espanol, how many blades is that? that.
Says.
Hey, LeVar, when you came into the NFL, you wore 50 what?
Six.
Damn right you did. That's six blade razors for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their six precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. Yeah, that's Dollar Shave Club in-store, so go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. All right, it's coming
just
up next.
Just when I thought you couldn't do any better,
hey,
Jonas.
How about that?
You totally get me with the 56 and totally redeem yourself.
Hey, man, that's what this is about.
I feel really good about you.
It's what he does.
It's real on these streets.
Best in the business.
Yeah. You see, I'm bundled up
from the business.
I'm bundled up like a mug today.
By the way, LeVar looks like he's running in the Iditarod coming up later on.
Man.
He's literally got this is the thickest jacket I've seen you wear since we've been working on the show.
And I feel so comfortable right now.
You look comfy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel it's really cold out this morning.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to break down how we feel about this apology / statement / whatever the hell you want to call it and what it means for a big name in the NFL world. We'll get to that next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, 15 minutes from now, somebody ruined it for many members of the media. They have ruined it. A spy, potentially. This is a football story, something we touched on very recently that we will get to top of next hour here on FSR. So.
It went from being a small story to now national media story.
It is.
Regional to nationwide.
And they just won, too. Like, that's the amazing part. So we'll get to that here 15 minutes from now. How do we feel about Adam Schefter and, him coming out and basically saying, I probably was a mistake to ask Bruce Allen to proofread things, but I just sort of trying to downplay his involvement in any sort of the recklessness of his name being attached to the story and his involvement with Bruce Allen. How do we feel about that? We feel like Adam Schefter is good. Nothing more to see here. We're going to kind of move on with our days, or is this going to linger a little bit? Because I think he's screwed. I think his credibility shot.
I'll put it this way. I feel a lot better after he issued that statement. Like that really helped me cope with all of it. I mean, and now I feel like I can trust him again after he made the statement. Without the statement, I'm not sure what I would have done, I would have been up in arms about, just life in general. And then, his inside reporting. Look, I think we all knew or know to a degree how this works with sources, especially for insiders. But when you see the email and I think he refers to Bruce Allen as Mr. Editor, and you're basically asking a guy to type in whatever he wants to say or however he wants to manipulate the story, that's a problem. And you lose credibility, you lose your trustworthiness. And if it happened with Bruce Allen, which I wasn't under the assumption that Adam Schefter's that close to him, but so let's say he is, or let's say he's not even that close.
Well, apparently he's not, because he called him Mr. Editor and not Bruce. So
right.
I don't know how you confuse
Great
his
point.
Name like that.
Well, you're
Great
using
point.
Code, too,
yeah,
though.
Of course.
Just in case it was to come out.
The point is this, is if that's an executive in the NFL that he's not even that close to, imagine what he reports with people he is close to. Imagine what those emails or that correspondence looks like, or how those stories get manipulated. So that's the problem now, is this really opens up Pandora's box. We keep referring to it as that. But it does, because where does it stop? I mean, at what point, where does it stop, whether it's Schefter inside reporting or with the Washington football team, the Las Vegas Raiders, what other coaches, general managers could have been a part of it? Who knows? I mean, maybe we'll find out. But I do think this takes a hit to Schefter's credibility to a degree.
You guys have talked to insiders before, right? Like they've come to you for stuff, or you've at least worked with guys who are considered insiders
Absolutely.
In the media. All right, so tell me if this makes sense, because this is the part that's a little puzzling from the statement from Adam Schefter. Just to clarify, it's common practice to verify facts of a story with sources before you publish in order to be as accurate as possible. In this case, I took the rare step of sending the full story in advance because of the complex nature of the collective bargaining talks. Like, it doesn't add up. Like who sends the entire story? You may send their involvement in the story, or, hey, this is what we've got here. But to send the entire story to be proofread.
It does add up in the context in which he sent it. It does add up, but it still goes back to the original point of what Brady just made, is it still kills your credibility. Because for you to send something and now to use the reasoning that you want to make sure because of the complexities and the sensitivities of the topic itself, if you don't get it and you don't understand it from your perspective and from your angle, then you shouldn't be writing it.
Right.
You shouldn't
Great
be
point.
Doing it. So the fact that you're trusting that, what if he's playing, what if Bruce Allen is sitting there playing a cruel joke, like, let's get Adam, let's get Schefty, like, yeah, this is good, and it's totally off. You have to be responsible enough and professional enough to do the homework and the research. That's called half-assing, right? In football terms, half-assing is rewarded with fines, being benched, cut. That's what half-assing gets you. It gets you more reps, like, for the whole team. Like, oh, you're half-assing these 40s? Okay, let's start over. Oh, we're half-assing the practice? Let's start over. That's half-assing.
Yeah.
Do your work. To say that, oh, I sent the whole entire article over so that he could look over it because of the complexities of the bargaining agreement and the language of it. I wanted to make sure that they had it, he had it right, I had it right. Like, you don't check your fact checking and all that stuff, the correctness of what it is that you're presenting based off of the people you're doing stories on. You just don't do it that way.
Do you know how many resources they have at ESPN?
Oh, God.
I mean, they have researchers after researchers. They have their own research department. I mean, it's absurd to think that he couldn't have gotten clarification on most things with what he was writing about and then sent an excerpt here or there to have Bruce Allen say, is this what you were looking at, or is this what you were referring to, for more clarification? I mean, it's surprising that, or maybe it shouldn't be surprising, but it surprised me that he would send the entire thing.
That's a toilet paper move.
Yeah.
That's a toilet paper move.
One ply or two ply.
You know, it was a comfortable flex.
Two.
Like, yeah. But you know, you got to be sensitive to that nose when wiping so hard to remove it from your nose.
That's a good point.
You know.
And now, it's been kind of a rough few months for Adam Schefter, because he was the guy who went hard in the paint on Mac Jones is going to go number 3 overall. Yep. Mac Jones is the guy. It's a done deal.
That reasoning was weird. I couldn't decipher what he meant by the reasoning on that.
And then he also dropped the Aaron Rodgers is demanding a trade on draft night.
Right.
And then when he was asked about it, because you had a lot of players who were pissed off about it. I think J.C. Horn's dad said after the draft was over, the first round, he said, you know, this is our kids' biggest night of their careers. And Aaron Rodgers chooses this night to show how unhappy he is and demand a trade. It felt like they were hijacking the news cycle. And Adam Schefter went out and said, oh, no, it had nothing to do with that. I just thought, I had this story. Why not drop it? And he dropped it on draft night. So he got heat for the Mac Jones stuff. He got heat for the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Now he's getting heat for this. It's been a rough few months for Adam Schefter when it comes to reporting on NFL stories.
Well, you know.
I mean,
the hard thing is for him, if he sits on it and someone else reports it, how does that make him look?
Yeah.
So that I get that part of, you know, having to sit and wait on a story or not say maybe all what you know. Like, that's the difficulty of that job. That's why they get compensated well for what they do. But, you know, and as far as the timing of it, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Aaron Rodgers did want it to be then. Maybe he thought that would pressure the Packers into a trade. Who knows? I thought the most interesting was this past Monday Night Football. I mean, wasn't he the one that broke the story of Monday Night Football about everything that has transpired?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing here is going to be how is ESPN affected by this, and how does ESPN view this? Because this could be it for Schefter. This could be it, depending on the fallout of it and how deep it goes. It could be the end of it.
He's being courted by, I want to say, Caesar's Sportsbook, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Which, that's a whole different can of worms, by the way. Like, how's that going to work? You have an insider who's got this inside information that's going to pass along to bettors? Like, that would be a direct violation.
Yeah.
That would be like insider trading, right, for stocks, which the SEC would come down and hammer you and you go to jail for. So how's that going to work if he was to take a job like that?
But, man, it'd probably be the most accurate lines being placed on futures odds for trades and
stuff.
He's
showing that you can't trust them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, you can get to Vegas. I mean, Pete Rose is still, you know, slinging autographs at the forum shops at Caesars.
Oh,
so, I mean, you know.
Pete Rose was good.
Get after it if you can.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.